Let's turn to the Gospel according to John and read together chapter 10 this morning. John chapter 10. This is the Word of God. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is an hireling and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have which are not of this fold. Them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. There was a division, therefore, among the Jews for these sayings, and many of them said, He hath a devil and is mad. Why hear ye him? Others said, These are not the words of him that hath a devil. Can a devil open the eyes of the blind? And it was at Jerusalem, the feast of the dedication, and it was winter. And Jesus walked in the temple in Solomon's porch. Then came the Jews round about him, and said unto him, How long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. Jesus answered them, I told you, and ye believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But ye believe not, because ye are not my sheep, as I said unto you. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Then the Jews took up stones again to stone him. Jesus answered them, Many good works have I showed you from my Father. For which of those works do ye stone me? The Jews answered him, saying, For a good work we stone thee not, but for blasphemy. And because thou, being a man, makest thyself God. Jesus answered them, Is it not written in your law, I said, Ye are gods? If ye called them gods, unto whom the word of God came, and the Scripture cannot be broken. Say ye of him whom the Father hath sanctified and sent into the world, Thou blasphemest, because I said, I am the Son of God. If I do not the works of my Father, believe me not. But if I do, though ye believe not me, believe the works, that ye may know and believe that the Father is in me and I in him. Therefore they sought again to take him, but he escaped out of their hand, and went away again beyond Jordan into the place where John at first baptized, and there he abode. And many resorted unto him and said, John did no miracle, but all things that John spake of this man were true. And many believed on him there. So far we read the holy and inspired Word of God. I call your attention this morning to John 10, verse 14. John 10, verse 14, where Jesus says concerning himself, I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, the sermon this morning is a special sermon relative to this year's family visitation by the elders. This is a different sermon than those that I have preached in the past regarding family visitation. In the past, when we would have a special sermon for family visitation, the sermon would be on the particular text that would be used for the theme of this year's family visitation. That's not what this sermon is this morning. You'll notice in your mailboxes a letter from the consistory that explains a couple of things concerning family visitation this year. And one of the things that it briefly explains is the fact that we're not going to have as a congregation a theme text this year. We're not going to have a particular passage that is read in every home, and there are reasons for doing that, and I'll get into some of those in the course of the sermon. What the sermon, therefore, is this morning is not on the theme text, which is no longer, at least for this year, but instead a sermon on the practice of family visitation and one of the biblical bases of family visitation. The purpose of this sermon this morning is to explain in part why, as a congregation, we conduct this yearly practice of family visitation, and in the end, who is working through family visitation. And that is the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the good shepherd of the sheep, who knows his flock, and knowing his flock, he cares for the flock. The purpose of the sermon this morning is to lead us as a congregation to understand why our church fathers and why the elders today deem it very important every year to visit each home in order to assess the spiritual needs of the home and in order, therefore, to shepherd the flock. You'll notice in the text that it doesn't say anything about elders. The text talks about Christ. I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. But in the course of the sermon, the Lord willing, we will see how these words of Jesus very much apply to the basis of the work that elders do in family visitation. So I call your attention to this text this morning using as our theme the good shepherd who knows his sheep. We consider in the first place that this is the knowledge of love, and then in the second place that this is an all-comprehensive care. The knowledge of love and the all-comprehensive care with the theme the good shepherd who knows the sheep. In John chapter 10, the main point is the refrain that we have throughout this chapter at least a few times where Jesus says, as he does in our text, I am the good shepherd. There's many different elements to the parable that Jesus sets forth in John 10. The fact that there are robbers and thieves and hirelings, and that there is a sheepfold, and that there is a porter, and that there is the door who is the Lord Jesus Christ. Only through Christ does one go in and come out. But the main point of John 10 is Jesus Himself saying, I am the good shepherd, which means that His people are His flock. The flock that He died for, the flock that He cares for, and the flock that He preserves. The particular verse that we are pulling out of this is verse 14. And I want to now explain the specifics of verse 14, where we have these two main ideas to begin with, that He is the good shepherd and that He knows His sheep. Jesus identifies Himself here in this verse as the good shepherd. Very simple description, but it's a beautiful description. He's the good shepherd. He's not the evil shepherd. He's the good shepherd. And that word good in the text refers to that which is beautiful and that which is excellent. Jesus is the good shepherd because He is beautiful and excellent as to who He is. This is the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the sinless, only begotten Son of God come into the flesh. He Himself, as to His person, is good, as the very Son of God. But He's the good shepherd, beautiful and excellent also with respect to the work that He does for His flock. And that's the emphasis of John 10. There are those who are bad and evil. Why are they bad and evil with respect to the flock? They're bad and evil because they don't care for the flock. They attempt to steal the flock, destroy the flock. And when there are dangers, the enemies who come, they flee from the flock and they don't care for the flock. They're evil. They're bad because they don't love and don't care about the flock. Jesus is the good shepherd because He's beautiful and excellent with respect to what He does for His flock. And that's expressed all throughout John 10, but we're focusing on what is said in this particular text. The second part of the text in part explains how and why He is the good shepherd. He's the good shepherd because He knows His sheep. That's what makes Jesus Christ the good shepherd of the flock. He knows His flock. And notice there the strength with which Jesus says this. Literally there He says He knows His own. Obviously the own are the sheep in light of the parable that He speaks in John chapter 10. But it's a definitive statement. We don't sit here this morning wondering, does Jesus know me? As we're going to explain what that means to know us. We don't wonder this morning if the Lord of heaven, who is the good shepherd of His sheep, knows us. He says it. He says it definitively and clearly. I know my sheep. And the congregation needs to believe that that is the case and not doubt that Jesus knows His flock. And we know that Jesus knows the flock because of what Jesus has done, does right now, and will continue to do for the flock, which by God's grace, we are members of. That Jesus knows the flock means that Jesus has a deep, intimate, personal love for His sheep. Whenever we come across in the Scriptures the concept of knowing relative to the people of God's relationship to God, or even with respect to relationship with each other, particularly that of a husband and a wife, another beautiful picture of this relationship of Christ and His flock. The language of the Bible, knowing, is always the language of deep, intimate, personal love. Marriage demonstrates it clearly. The husband and wife know each other. They know each other not just sexually, but they know each other intimately and personally and deeply in love for one another. When Jesus says, "I know my sheep," He's not saying that He just has an intellectual knowledge of the facts of His sheep. He's saying, "I love my sheep deeply, personally, and intimately." Yes, there is the knowledge of the facts, of the needs, and all of the rest, which we're going to get into. But the heart and essence of everything that flows from the knowledge of the sheep that Jesus has is the main idea that it is a deep, personal, intimate love. And that's expressed by the verse that follows our text in verse 15. "I know my sheep and am known of mine, just as, even as, the Father knoweth me. Even so, I know the Father." He draws a comparison between the love of Father in heaven to Him as the incarnate Son, to the love and knowledge that Jesus has for His flock. That love is astounding. It's not a cold relationship between Jesus and Father in heaven. It's a warm, deep, intimate, personal love that is between the triune God and the incarnate Lord Jesus Christ. And in the same way, there's the deep, personal, intimate love that Jesus has for His flock. Jesus knows His flock because the flock was given to the Lord Jesus Christ in eternity. According to the decree of election, we read that in the end of the chapter, when we read in verse 29, "My Father which gave them me is greater than all." That points us to the source of the knowledge that Jesus has for you and me. The source of that is eternity. The source of that is the fact that every one of the flock of Jesus Christ has a name, and that name was written in the book of the life, book of life. And all of those names in the book of life were given in eternity to the Lord Jesus Christ. He knows, according to the decree of eternity, who are His. And that's part of the absolute rock-solid assurance that goes along with this amazing truth of John 10. This is why what He says in the context of that later in John 10, "No man will pluck a sheep out of the fold." This is why He truly and eternally knows each one of His people. It's because it's all rooted in the unchangeable decree of election. That's our comfort and that's our assurance that what Jesus says in here is true. He knows, and He will forever know and love the flock. Knowing each one of His sheep by name in a deep, personal, intimate love for each one of His sheep, Jesus demonstrates the greatest love a man could ever show. And that's the refrain that's found throughout John chapter 10, at least three times in John 10. We read, "I lay down my life for the sheep." Consider this morning, beloved, the intimate love of Jesus for you as a flock. So great is that love that, as He says in such simple but profound language. I lay down my life for the sheep. No man takes it, he says. It's not against my will, Jesus says. Willingly and voluntarily, I give myself. Not just my physical life, but I give myself to the depths of hell for my flock. And because Jesus did that for His flock, He can say, and He does say what He does in the text, they're mine. That's what we literally read at the beginning of the text. I am the good shepherd and know my own. In every respect, according to that decree election, and based upon the cross of Calvary, we as a flock belong to Christ. And that was necessary because we don't deserve to belong to the flock of Jesus Christ. It was only through the removal of our sin and guilt, by the perfect laying down of Jesus' life, that what is talked about in John 10 is true. And what is talked about in John 10 is life. Verse 10, I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I'm the good shepherd, and the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. That's the fruit of the work of Jesus Christ in laying down his life for you and me. We have life, and we have life more abundantly. We have life with God as part of the flock of Jesus Christ. The astounding nature of Jesus Christ as the good shepherd of the sheep is that He takes His life again. He does not remain a dead shepherd. That's where the earthly picture falls down. A shepherd may have physical sheep, and he may see the enemies coming, and he may perform an act such that he protects the sheep against the enemies, but in the process of doing that, he dies. The fruit of that would be a flock that's shepherdless. In a certain sense, not any better off than they were prior to the shepherd dying and saving them. Because without the shepherd, all it takes after a matter of time is more enemies to come. And now they don't have anybody, and now the sheep are going to be destroyed. But that's not the nature of Jesus laying down His life. He lays it down so that in laying it down, the sheep become His, but He arises from the dead so that the sheep that are now His will forever be preserved and cared for in their needs. And that's part of the knowledge of the text. The knowledge of the text is a knowledge of love rooted in eternity and grounded in the cross of Calvary, but then it doesn't stop there. It's a love that extends all the life long of each one of the flock. And it's a knowledge of us very intimately and personally so that He cares for us in our needs. That's where the picture is so beautiful. And why bringing to mind the picture of a flock of sheep with a shepherd is so very helpful. A shepherd needs to love that flock, know them. But he also has to, out of that love for them, actually know them in all of their needs. He needs to know how many he has. He needs to know where they are. He needs to know when they're hungry and when they're had enough. He needs to know when this particular sheep needs a little clubbing because he's stubborn. He needs to know on the periphery where the enemies are and the robbers and the thieves and the hirelings are. He needs to know all the things about the sheep. And if he doesn't have a love for them, all that knowledge does nothing. Because he may see the enemies, but if he doesn't love them, he's not going to protect them. But knowing them in love and knowing them in their needs, the Lord Jesus Christ then cares for, preserves, protects the flock He has laid down His life for. And that gets us into the second point of the sermon. And the second point of the sermon speaks of this all-comprehensive care. And now, in light of what I said in the introduction, I want to take that idea of Jesus knowing the sheep and implied in that loving and caring for the sheep and see how that relates to the elders and the work of family visitation and what it says about them and what they must do and how we must understand this as a congregation. Jesus, from His position at God's right hand in heaven, is the good shepherd of the sheep. But God has ordained means through which the good shepherd of the sheep loves and cares for His flock. Jesus in heaven does this in and through the office bearers in the church. And that's the importance of faithful office bearers, because when there are faithful office bearers bringing the Word of God in all of its truth, that doesn't just say something about the Word and men, but their presence with the Word says this: Christ is here. As we said on Thursday night, He's in heaven right now at God's right hand. But when there are office bearers, elders, deacons, and a pastor who faithfully bring God's Word through which the Spirit of Christ works, the definitive statement we say in response to that is, Jesus is present. And Jesus is present knowing and caring for His flock. Now the Word of God, relative to the office of elder, makes this very explicit. And there are two passages that we should quote in this respect. One of them is Acts verse chapter 20, verse 28. And what these passages do is state explicitly that the elders in the church are shepherds caring for the flock. Acts 20, verse 28 says this. This is the word of Paul to the Ephesian elders as he's on his way back to Jerusalem. He says to the elders in Ephesus, that's the one that he's talking to, elders, take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock, over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which He hath purchased with His own blood. He calls there the church the flock. And He says to the elders, feed the flock. Literally there, shepherd the flock. You are shepherds, Paul says to the elders. As shepherds, shepherd, feed, care for the flock which is purchased with the blood of God. The purchasing by the very life of Jesus Christ. That's one passage. The second passage is 1 Peter 5. Verse 2. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 2. Notice again to whom this is written. Verse 1, the elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder. And then he says to the elders, feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. Feed, shepherd the flock which is among you. So that when we read in John chapter 10, Jesus Christ, the good shepherd of the sheep, who knows and loves and cares for His flock, and we think practically, how does the Lord Jesus Christ do this in our lives today, here on this earth? The answer to that is this. He does that through the church. And He does that through the offices in the church. One of them being pastor. Pastors who are shepherds of the flock. Pastors who speak as ordained and called men the word of the gospel, so that when We sit under the preaching of the gospel on Sunday. We hear, as John Sen says, the voice of Jesus Christ. And that's the amazing thing about sheep. You can have all sorts of sheep, multiple flocks in a sheepfold. And when the shepherd comes and the shepherd speaks the voice, only what is his flock comes and responds. Sheep hear the voice of their shepherd. And in the preaching of the gospel, we hear the voice of our shepherd and we respond by following the good shepherd. That's part of it. But also we can draw out of John 10 the fact that this knowledge of the sheep, which leads to, therefore, the care of the sheep, in light of 1 Peter 5 and Acts 20, is also accomplished by the elders. And that's how we have to view them as a congregation, and that's how they have to understand themselves as elders. And there's implications of that on both sides. For the elders, the implication is that you have to understand this. And I'm confident you do. That the work that you do as elders is simply on behalf of the good shepherd of the sheep. And right along with that is to understand that we don't do this on our own strength and in our own wisdom, but knowing that this is all on behalf of the good shepherd. Everything we do on behalf of the good shepherd, we look to him. We look to him for all of our strength, all of our wisdom in his word and in prayer to guide us in caring for the flock. And we do that in love. Jesus loves his flock. That's why I started, knowledge is love. Everything that drives what we do as elders in the caring for the flock, in family visitation, and in all of the work is motivated by love, first for the shepherd, and then for the shepherd's flock. And that's why as an elder, myself as a pastor, what is first is I'm the wandering sheep, the unworthy sheep, saved by the laying down of the life of the good shepherd of the sheep. That's first. What are we first before office bearers? We're sheep. We're sheep saved by the shepherd. And it's first knowing the love of the shepherd personally and loving him personally that will lead us to love the flock now that he has put us over in this congregation. And beloved, as a congregation, as we think about John 10 and Christ as the good shepherd of the sheep, we have to understand that he is that good shepherd to us in and through, now this morning in particular, the office bearers and elders. And there's massive implications for that for you as a congregation. And one of the main one is to receive the elders and to submit to the elders is to submit to and to receive Jesus Christ. Not saying that they are Jesus Christ, absolutely not. They're instruments, they're men, fallen and sinful. But in a very real way, when you receive and heed the Word, and that's the point, it's the Word, brought through the instrument of an elder, you are receiving and submitting to none other than the very Son of God who sits at God's right hand in heaven. But the flip side is there too. Failure to submit to, failure to heed to, failure to receive the elders in the church is failure to receive and to submit to and to heed to none other and Jesus himself. And so it's with that attitude that we as a congregation understand family visitation. We understand it exactly as the Lord Jesus Christ feeding and shepherding the flock. But let's go back now to this idea of knowledge. Understanding that this is how God works through the church, we have to see that it is only in the way of knowing the flock, knowing the needs of the flock, that you can then care for and shepherd that flock. You can't do it unless you know their needs. If you were a shepherd and you didn't know anything about sheep, you didn't know anything about this flock that you're supposed to care for, if you didn't know that they need nice pasture and they don't eat other types of food, if you didn't know that their particular predators are the wolves, if you didn't know that they have to be in certain places in order to lie down and rest, if you had no knowledge of sheep and this flock in particular, you can't shepherd it and care for it. Knowledge is necessity to shepherding the flock. And that, beloved, is the point and the purpose of family visitation. It's to know the flock. And this is why family visitation is not just a Bible study, and why with no problem the consistory says we don't need a particular theme text. Of course Scripture is going to be read. Of course Scripture is going to be used. But the point is not to study a particular text, because it's broader than that. It's not just a social visit. This is a time for the elders, with the Word of God, appropriate for each family, to assess the family and the individual, to assess their spiritual life and their spiritual walk, to assess the dangers. John 10 makes very clear, thieves and robbers and hirelings, the dangers relative to this family or this individual, to assess the spiritual lives of families and individuals so that the elders can stand before God as faithful representatives of Jesus Christ and say, we are striving to know the flock, and in knowing the flock, to care for that flock. It's for that reason that it's broader than just a Bible study on a particular text, because there's all sorts of questions that need to be asked and discussions that need to be had at family visitation. And beloved, as a congregation, these are the types of things that we should expect. And not just expect, but want. Want because we know that in the end, this is how Christ cares for me, us, as a family. And so yes, it does require, when we have family visitation with the elders, to be open. And it does require asking difficult questions. We have to ask questions about an understanding and a love for the truth, and how that truth affects us in our lives. We have to ask questions about our personal worship of and fellowship with God in family worship and in private worship. It's not just a yes or no answer. Do you do this? But let's talk about this. Are you walking with God in His Word daily as a family and as an individual? We have to ask questions about whether or not there's an understanding of the threats of the world and what's being done in this home to protect us from those who seek our hurt. Are there the proper boundaries being put up relative to the internet and all of the dangers that come through that? Is there accountability in this home? Because we know the thieves and the robbers are right there to snatch us if they can at any opportunity. We have to talk about, is there love in this home? Is it evident that dad loves mom and mom loves dad, and that there's fellowship in this home that is godly fellowship, praising the Lord in all that we do? We have to talk about priorities. Not just, yes, I know these things are priorities, but what are we doing as families to make sure that the priorities are where they need to be, and that all of the busyness doesn't push out of our lives what matters most. We need to talk about the church. What is the church to this family? What is life in the church to this family? We need to talk about dating. Who? Why? How? Friends. Who? Why? How? With good godly friends. All of that and more is the purpose of family visitation, so that the elders can say, we get a grasp of this family. We understand where they're at. It may require follow-up. If there are things that need to be addressed, we may walk away and say, we're confident that the Lord is in this home and that He's working. And these people are walking faithfully with their God day by day in Jesus Christ. It's hard work, but that's the purpose, so that we know, as representatives of the Good Shepherd of the flock, the sheep, and knowing the sheep, can bring God's Word to care for the flock. And notice the fact that there is not one that Jesus does not know and does not care for. There's not special treatment to a particular segment of the flock or an individual in the flock. He knows, as the text says, the sheep. And the point there is the whole flock. Every single one of them is precious to the Lord Jesus Christ. Precious because elected in eternity. Precious because each one individually in the place of Jesus died for on the cross. And now each one cared for by the flock, by the shepherds. That's reflected in preaching. Number one, and this is why we come together as a whole to hear the Word of God preached. So that the Word of God addresses all of us in our needs. It's not possible every sermon to touch every single person in their needs. The gospel does that. The root of it, the Lord Jesus Christ, whom we need every week, does that. But beyond that, when you preach the entire Word of God, the goal is that it addresses all of us in our needs. But consider this too, that family visitation is a demonstration of the knowledge and the love that Christ has for all of the flock. There's not a family or an individual that is not visited every single year. To state it positively, every family, every individual. Because we're not going to be respecter of persons, and because we understand each one is precious to the Lord Jesus Christ, receives the visit in which the needs are assessed, and in which the Word of God is brought. And beloved, all of this is done, obviously, with the end that the Lord Jesus Christ would work through this to care for us. And that's reflected and can be drawn out of the second part of the text, which says, "And am known of mine." Jesus knows the flock, and we know Him. That's astounding. It's abominable to say that we can't know in a deep, personal, intimate way the love of God in heaven as it's revealed in the Lord Jesus Christ. We know Jesus. He's first. He's first. His love is first. He calls, He leads, and the flock hears, responds, and follows, and knows. But we know the Lord Jesus Christ. And in the end, beloved, that's our life. And that's the goal of family visitation and preaching. It's so that we as individual believers and as a congregation together might day by day consciously know Christ. That is to say, know His love for me and know Him in love in response. And knowing the Lord Jesus Christ as we look to Him by faith, we walk with this Christ. We serve this Christ. We follow this Christ. We live our life for this Christ. That's the Christian life, and that's the life of the child of God, and that's the goal. And the desire of myself as your pastor and the elders as your overseers, that you individually might know Jesus, that you might know your need for Jesus every day and look to Him, confessing your sins and turning from your sins, that you might see the glory and the beauty and the wonder of His laying down His life for you, and that your singular purpose in all of your life is to glorify God by walking with and living for your Savior, Jesus Christ. And all that we do is to guide you so that you might hear the voice of your Savior and that you might follow all the days of your life until He brings you home to Himself, your Savior, Jesus Christ. May the sermon this morning, beloved, serve the purpose of leading us to understand who Christ is, how Christ works, and how very practically He knows us and cares for us in the church and through the offices. And in that way, understanding that, let's begin anew a year of family visitation, and may God be pleased to bless it and use it for our good as a congregation. Amen. Our Father in heaven, we're thankful for the Good Shepherd, Jesus Christ, who knows us. And we pray, O God, that He might continue to preserve us and care for us in our needs through Thy Word as it is brought in Thy church. We pray that Thy Word may have been brought faithfully this morning and that it might be a power so that we understand correctly how Thou art pleased to work in and through Thy church. Hear our prayer, Father, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Let's sing now.